Welcome to the Radical Vitality Summit. You're in the right place for having more energy, losing weight, and feeling amazing in your own skin. Watch out. Radiance is coming your way. My name's Talia Lutzker, and I will be your host. Hello, and welcome to the Radical Vitality Summit. My name is Talia Lutzker, and I'm your host. Today, I am so honored to introduce to you Jennifer Ray. Jennifer holds a doctorate of traditional Chinese medicine, and she also practices holistic nutrition. Jennifer and I met in our yoga teacher training with our beloved teacher, T.S. Little, and so she's also a certified 500-hour yoga teacher through Prajna Yoga, and she's also done other yoga and mindfulness training, so her knowledge is super comprehensive, and she's especially passionate about exploring the health links between the body and the mind. And what I really love about the way that you present your wisdom, Jennifer, is how you combine the Eastern and the Western models of health so that, overall what you're presenting is really holistic. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Talia.
Yeah, you're welcome. I want to start out talking about your personal story, because you kind of came to digestive health and looking at the digestive system through some, mental illness or difficulty with moods. And I'd love for you to share with the listeners just that journey and what you discovered as a result.
Yeah, sure. So really for me, I discovered the whole sort of path of holistic nutrition and all of these other Eastern systems of healing through my own health struggles. When I was a teenager and, into my early 20s, really, I just struggled with a lot of emotional highs and lows. When I was a teenager, I had a lot of pain in my body. So I was actually told that I had some sort of arthritic condition, and I was put on different anti-inflammatory drugs. Through my teenage years, I was on different levels and types of antidepressants, trying to stabilize my mood. But what I really found eventually is that changing my diet was the most effective thing. I really dove deep into figuring out how foods are really affecting my overall system and therefore affecting my mind. Changing the foods and doing a lot of cleansing, that sort of thing, along with movement practices like yoga, really helped to decrease the inflammation in my body and therefore decrease the pain as well that I was experiencing. At that time, we didn't really know that actually the gut health affects in a very physical way the state of the mind through the production of neurotransmitters. So now we know, fairly new discovery is that neurotransmitters like serotonin are produced in the intestines, in the gut, and therefore, our gut health affects our mental state of mind. Yeah.
Do you know when and how that those studies came to light?
Yeah, I'm not sure, when exactly. I think there were probably, people who had an inkling of that much earlier than, sort of some of the official studies. But that would be something to look into. In a lot of ways, though, the Eastern systems have known this for a very long time. So the traditional Chinese medicine model, is thousands of years old, and they really recognize that the spleen and stomach, which is related to our digestion, obviously, which is considered a part of the earth element, this is all related to worry, overthinking, rumination. So those emotions are directly connected to the digestive system. So the idea in the Chinese medicine system is as the spleen and stomach go out of balance, generally as they become more deficient usually, there'll be more anxiety, there'll be more worry. So, you know, and each of the organ systems have their own emotion sort of that correlate with it or are attached to it. So, yeah, in some ways, you know, other systems have known this for much longer than the Western medical system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's sort of, there's sort of a lack of trust until the Western medical system says, that is right. That's what I find.
Yeah, so, sure, we need those studies. Yeah, we need those studies, you know, because I was told, like, I don't have enough serotonin or, you know, somehow the serotonin is not being picked up in some way. And, you know, maybe that was true on some level because the serotonin wasn't being produced in my gut. We just didn't get that far.
Right. And then it's like, wow, how am I going to get it except for if I get onto meds? You know, if you don't have that one little piece of information, which is huge. So, do you have any specific gut healing remedies that really have made a difference for you, especially in changing your diet, that you'd like to share with the listeners and or that you find makes a big difference in your clients on a pretty regular basis?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, for our listeners, you know, sort of an overall understanding versus needed. So just to review for probably many of us, the gut really has, we can think of the gut as having good bacteria and bad bacteria, right? So the good bacteria are things like probiotics. They help to keep everything in check and in balance. They sort of help to keep under control some of the bad bacteria. And the bad bacteria are things like candida, maybe we've heard that word, or other bad bacteria that sort of start to grow as we feed them sort of more, you know, bad foods like sugars and processed foods, this sort of thing, processed carbs. So first thing is to really keep that whole system working properly. Our body has amazing systems to work without, you know, much help in some ways from us. You know, the body is amazing that way. So as long as we support it, it should do its job. So we support it by eating foods that have a lot of probiotics, a lot of good bacteria. And, you know, this exists in a lot of traditional cultures. So good bacteria foods are usually fermented foods. So things like sauerkraut and kimchi, kefir, this sort of thing. And then we also want to include, as we're increasing those probiotic foods and increasing the whole sort of system, the microbiome system in the gut, we want to also increase a little bit of the prebiotic foods, very slowly, just gradually increasing prebiotic foods. So these are things like foods higher in fiber, onions, garlic, asparagus, leeks, things like endive, artichokes. So, you know, going slowly, first really building up the gut with the probiotics. And there may be a step even before that if a person has already quite a bit of inflammation in the digestive system, they may need to first start by healing and soothing that gut lining. And so we can do that with herbs like licorice root, for example, is a accessible one we can find.
I love licorice root.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
awesome.
We also... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to name a few other herbs. I think you and I in the past have talked also about Podarco tea. That's one of the herbs that really helped me. It's quite detoxifying. It really pulls what we call candida or yeast growth out of the body. So that's a nice one that people can drink as a tea.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to spell that one for everyone because it's a different herb. It's and pronounced maybe a little bit different in the U.S., but Pau d'Arco. We're literal with the pronunciation. It's P-A-U-D as in dog, apostrophe, A-R-C-O. That's the herb you're referring to. The herb.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes, that's
Cool. Great. And so,
I know I think that there.
Oh, go ahead. Please.
Go ahead.
No, you go. I want to hear what you're going to say.
Well, you know what I was going to say? I know the theme of your summit, Talia, is just this idea of radical vitality. And so, you know, for me, thinking about radical vitality and how that shows up in my own, you know, practices in life and how it shows up in my clinic when I work with patients is this balance between the spleen stomach, which we talked about, the digestive system, and the function of what we would call the kidney system in the Chinese medicine model. And really, the kidney system in the Chinese medicine model is related to our stress response. It's related to this sort of way that many of us are working on overdrive, hyperdrive. And so really finding a balance with both of those, I think, is essential for this idea of radical vitality. It's when we can really find a place of feeling grounded and nourished and vital.
Yeah. And I, you know, this is where your knowledge just really shines and is so interesting to me personally. You know, I know that we've talked about, and you've talked about it today too, digestive system, qi, so energy, being like the center of nourishment, the, you know, it's the way that we take care of ourselves all day, every day. And when we use food as therapy, you know, we're really strengthening that system. And so in some ways, the digestive system, certainly in Ayurveda, it's considered the central system of the body that feeds everything else. So much attention is paid to it in Ayurvedic medicine. And in Chinese medicine, I think I've heard you say that, you know, digestive qi is the center of vitality, and yet because of that spleen stomach connection and all that you talked about earlier, and yet kidney qi is also this huge thing. Can you just say like how they relate to each other in Chinese medicine, the digestive qi and the kidney qi? And then I'd actually love to have you say more about kidney qi for our listeners.
Sure, yeah. So let's see. So within the traditional Chinese medicine, you know, each of the organ systems holds its own sort of important role. And then if we look at the word qi first to begin with, there are lots of different types of qi, so lots of different types of energy, we could say, that exist in the body, exist in the natural world. And so they're all named. You know, there's things like food qi, there's air qi, there's a kind of qi called jing, which is more sort of the energy that we've received from our parents. It's a very deep reserve of life energy that we have in the body. There's defensive qi that's, you know, related to the immune system. So each of the different types of qi, you know, help us in different ways. And I think in particular, like you said, the digestive qi is very important. So if we think about the circle of the five elements in Chinese medicine, you know, usually it's drawn as a circle. There are schools of thought within the Chinese medicine community that put that earth element in the center of the circle. And so really, you know, in many ways, as we know, the digestive energy, it's all about nourishment. It's all about this connection to the planet, connection to the earth. So in that way, it is very central. And, you know, especially the digestive qi is one of the types of qi that we can affect. You know, we have more control over because we get to choose what we put in our body every day through the food we eat. So much of the spleen qi, much of the digestive energy or that type of qi comes from the food we eat and what we ingest. Versus, you know, the kidney qi is also a very foundational type of energy in the body. It really plays an essential role in our overall vitality. But it's a little bit, in some ways, harder to access and harder to affect. We still can affect it, but it is a little bit deeper in the body. It's considered the most yin type of qi. So, you know, it exists in the bones. It exists in, you know, the deep fluids and the marrow. And, you know, we can affect it through different grounding practices You and I have talked in the past about, you know, working the inner leg. So, you know, the inner leg from the inner arch all the way up through the inner seam into the inner groin. This is where all three yin meridians of the leg lie. So the kidney, spleen, and liver meridians. And so, you know, through doing any of the yoga poses that access that inner leg, we can start to really tonify and support the kidney chi. So this would be things like maybe triangle, trikonasana, or supta pada gustasana on our back, with the leg out towards the side, etc. Lots of different poses we can work the inner leg. What's that?
Hand to big toe pose, supta pada gustasana, number two.
Yeah, exactly. So in that way, then we can start to affect the inner leg and affect the kidney chi. So the kidney chi is related to our stress response, like I mentioned. And, you know, of course, we're all, most of us anyways, are under stress pretty regularly these days, I think. You know, we're working a lot. There's stress about money or relationships. There's, you know, a lot of stressful media out there. If we're not getting very good sleep or very good nutrition, all of these things stress the body out. And so, and in turn, really deplete the kidney chi. So the kidney chi, you know, basically we can think of it as the one type of chi in the body that will become depleted the most through stress. So it's very closely connected to stress hormones through the endocrine system. And so, of course, then we want to support the body when under stress with things like, you know, the adaptogen herbs are really helpful. So things like reishi. So if we're really experiencing stress, that would be a way to kind of start to support the kidney and the water element in the body.
Mm-hmm. What other adaptogens do you like? I love, I really love ashwagandha, and I love maca when it's made into a tea, because in South America they, you know, it's traditionally cooked. But we import it into North America in its raw form, and it's kind of like gnawing on, you know, a big fat lotus root that's in its raw form. Like, it's not very digestible in raw form, so I like to make it into tea. But what other adaptogens do you use as your kind of go-tos?
Well, like I mentioned, reishi is definitely probably the most go-to. I just find
that's
it so mushroom. Grounding. Yeah, it's so grounding. It's Ganoderma mushroom. It's just very subtle. It allows people to just calm down a little bit and still really function with a lot of clarity. It really helps the mind to become clear. It helps with memory. Probably ashwagandha would be my second choice as well, actually. You know, very supportive herb, as you know, very sort of nourishing plants that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many others, you know. Within the Chinese medicine system, you know, I like Huang Qi as well, which is astragalus. It's not, I don't know if you would call it for sure an adaptogen, but it is also very supportive to really tonify the qi in the body overall, spleen, stomach, qi especially. But really just overall kind of energy boost that way.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely learned about that one as an adaptogen specific. And what's nice about astragalus is that's something they almost, at least in the U.S., it kind of, when you buy astragalus root, it looks like a tongue depressor, like a long, thin tongue depressor.
Yeah.
And those are so easy to stick into a pot of rice or a stew or a soup that you're cooking, and just infuse your food with an adaptogenic herb that's not only supporting digestion, but also supporting this kidney chi.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we can look towards these Eastern systems like Ayurveda and Chinese medicine is how these systems use so many of these plants almost like food, right? So like you said, I mean, in the Chinese system, they put the astragalus in congee all the time to support the qi overall. So that's that like long cooked grain with lots of water, super, super strengthening. And then you add some herbs, and it just increases that benefit. Yeah, so adaptogens are really, you know, they're non-toxic generally. They're fairly safe. They have a wide range of benefits usually, and they have kind of a regulating or modulating effect. So in that way, you know, they're appropriate for usually a wide spectrum of people.
Well, you and I have something in common. Go ahead. We have a lot to say to each other.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Really? Okay. We have a lot in common as practitioners in that we both lead cleanses. And I think that we both experienced a lot of healing in our own journeys through a cleansing practice. You know, when I lead cleanses, they're seasonal. They're totally rooted in Ayurvedic practice. I mean, in a way, I think of them even more as, you know, a little boot camp for living an Ayurvedic lifestyle for a week. I'm just curious if you want to say something about the cleanses that you lead and like kind of your philosophy behind it when you lead cleanses. So you do it on retreat.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I do, like you said, we do have a lot in common. I do lead retreats. They're, you know, anywhere from a couple of days to a week. And the cleansing ones are, you know, particularly focused on doing some juice cleansing. So generally, I do also try to focus on the seasons. So we mostly do the juice cleansing either in a hot climate or during the summer. Because really, you know, according to the Eastern systems, we don't really want to eat a lot of cold food, which juice would be categorized during colder times of year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity to get together in a group. You know, I think, do you run them online? Is that right, Talia?
Yeah, I run them online so that it's something people can do at home, like during a regular work week. That's how I've been leading them for years. But I love retreat. I mean, there's nothing better really, because you're like, yeah, I'm just totally getting to relax. And when the more you relax, the more healing is going to occur.
Right. So, I mean, you know, both ways, though, we're connecting with community, right? We're doing it with a group. So there's that supported sense that we're not just sort of out there on our own, whether we're like in our house on our own, but we're still connecting to this online community. Or if the participants are on retreat doing a cleanse, it's this opportunity to really receive support from others. And it can be, I found that it's incredibly helpful and supportive to people who do come on retreat. You know, I have a lot of clients that I work with who end up coming, a lot of folks from all over the world who end up, you know, finding my work and coming on retreat and doing that cleansing work. So, yeah, the retreats are really supportive in that way, you know, and we balance it out with a lot of different types of movement, depending on sort of where we are at in the progression of the cleanse. So, yeah.
Well, and what's like the advice that you give your cleansers in terms of, you know, I guess my experience is that cleansing, you know, is helpful at really specific times in a person's healing journey. And certainly it can be a deepening practice of just like getting to know your own digestive system and being more in tune with what you need. And there can be kind of a scary, for someone who's never done it, it can be kind of scary at first because they're like, oh, am I going to be really deprived? Am I going to be, you know, am I going to be sick? Am I going to be running to the bathroom? What kind of advice do you give to your clients when they're in a, you know, they're about to embark on a cleanse with you, just to kind of soothe their minds and help them become mentally ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, what I love about the cleansing process is that it can be, you know, so, so powerful, really potent for participants. But at the same time, I think once people start, they begin to see that, you know, generally the type of cleansing that I lead anyways is actually fairly accessible. You know, so I never, you know, we never do anything that's too extreme, and it always, all the cleansing always needs to be individualized. You know, so I don't recommend that people do cleansing if, you know, if they're feeling particularly weak or, of course, if they're pregnant, breastfeeding, that sort of thing, cleansing is out. You know, children don't really need to cleanse. So, yeah, I mean, we do it sort of where the person's at, and generally, you know, I always say, go slow, right? Like if I'm working with somebody in my private practice who wants to start a cleanse on their own, it's better to really just go slow. There's this tendency in our culture to do the most extreme thing right away. And I really believe that most people don't need the really extreme cleansing. I mean, I've pretty much done it all.
Right.
So, you know, I've given it a try, and you know, maybe it's helpful, some of the more extreme cleansing practices. But for most of us, just cleaning up the diet in the sense of, you know, clearing out all of the sort of stagnating foods for a period of time, some of the heavier foods, maybe even some of the triggering foods, that, you know, if there's certain allergies or sensitivities, and just really overloading the body with lots of nutrition. So that's why I really like the juice cleanses, you know, is that we really use all of these beautiful vital greens. And so in that way, then the body does the work, right? Because we have all of these natural processes in the body that detox, that are detoxing all the time, the kidneys and the liver and the colon, you know, the lungs, all the systems of the body are constantly cleaning up. So, and then we can increase with, you know, the use of herbs and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Awesome. That's cool. You are just a wealth of knowledge, and I was gonna say when you and I met in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with, you know, in our teacher training, the first time that you answered a question in the class, I mean, I remember just kind of like my jaw dropping. I'm just like, oh my God, who is that person? She is amazing. And you're just, you know, I just think you're a very beautiful woman too. So beautiful women are commonly incredibly smart. It was just the whole package. I was just like, oh my God, what am I looking at right now?
Oh, Talia, thank you.
You're so cool.
Bright light in our training.
Thank you. Well, Jennifer has such a cool gift for everyone listening today. She created a vitality kit for us. So it's an online package of videos and other materials that teach you how to build your kidney chi and your digestive energy for greater vitality. So that's at her website, jenniferray.com/vitality kit. And the link to that free gift is in the email that sent you to this interview, and it's also on the Radical Vitality Summit homepage. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for being a part of this. I have gotten so much out of talking to you, and I'm sure all of our listeners did as well. So, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Talia. I've had an awesome time. I hope to do it again. And everyone, you know, you can head over to the site, because I have put together a little package there for more information. And I hope to connect with some of you very soon.
Awesome.
Thank you, Talia.
You're welcome. And thanks, everyone, for listening today. We'll see you next time on the Radical Vitality Summit. Namaste.